Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Recorded live from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C.
You are listening to Notes from the Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. My name is Will, and I'm joined by my co-host, Diamond, and by Catherine Help me with your last name.
Buccello.
Buccello.
Oh, that was beautifully said.
That Buccello. Sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. I had years of practice.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, welcome to Notes from the Library. Today's show is all about diversity, inclusion, and equitable opportunities in tech.
Yes, yes. And Catherine, you've done a lot of great work in tech, and we would love to hear more about what you do and how you got here.
Well, I work at a tech company, and I started off in sales and transitioned into becoming a restaurant strategic success manager.
I love that title.
It's
fancy. A mouthful, but I love it.
And there's a two at the end of mine because I was recently promoted. But
ooh, congrats.
It's a nice name for an account manager. And what I do on the side as well within the company is I spearhead, so I'm a co-chair for our diversity and inclusion employee resource group.
Nice, nice. So how did you get your start? Where did that all begin?
Well, I originally was working in event production, and then I was paying attention to what was going on in the world, and everything was moving towards tech. So I was like, okay, I have to jump on it while it's still hot and it's new. And then realizing while I was one of the first in tech, well, first group of people of color, and I even hate that term, that was hired, like we were one of the biggest classes with the highest numbers. That's when I started realizing and paying closer attention to other tech companies, what's considered tech companies, and what is the percentage of diverse employees that work there, as well as what is the percentage of diverse leaders that work there, because that was disheartening for me to work and walk into a company in New York, where I'm from, which is a melting pot, and see nothing that looked like outside inside of those walls.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in the library, we have the fabrication lab. We try to provide people with access to technology, and even in that space, it feels to me, listeners at home, I'm a white dude. It just feels to me like. Try as we do in the library to make it inclusive and diverse, mm-hmm. like. We don't always meet that standard. Like even the, in our lab spaces, it seems almost like people, I don't know what's going wrong. And don't get me wrong. I think we do encourage a diverse space, but, there's definitely room for growth.
For sure. I guess like the question that I had for you next, Kat and Will, to play off of that is what is tech and who is impacted by it? I think to your point, Will, tech affects everyone. The question is access. Who knows about it? Who mm-hmm. knows about the opportunities in tech? And I think that also plays on what you talked about too, Kat. So what is tech and who is tech impacting? And then we can just dive into that a bit more.
So I think for myself, when I was even thinking about tech, Diamond, you know, you and I went to the same college, but we had friends that were becoming user experience designers,
which
web designers.
We had no idea what that meant. Okay, we have one friend that we love dearly. This was not a trend at that time.
Right.
And we just saw her drawing boxes
and then on the computer for 20 hours.
Technological terms, and now user experience designer is everywhere, but
right.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Right.
Yes, and not to ages, but that was also a thing.
I'm going to move past that part. But I think it was all the idea of it's coding, it's web design, it's graphic design.
It's broad, yeah.
That's what we were programmed to think. And then now working in a tech company and seeing there's different opportunities for us. You can do sales, account management, customer success. You can do PR for tech. You can do marketing for tech. It's just training, sales training. There's so many different opportunities. And I think for minority communities, we don't, I also hate that term as well, we weren't aware or made privy to the fact that there's other opportunities that aren't technical within tech, because tech is so broad. Like, tech is everything. Tech is in music. Tech is in media. Yeah. Tech is in our phones. Tech is all the apps that we use.
Tech
in our
is
phones.
Life. Like, it's it impacts everyone, even if you don't realize that.
Right, exactly.
You engage with tech, you know?
You engage with tech probably 50 times per day without realizing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. I remember, like, my background is in art, and I think it's the same thing. You engage with art and tech all the time. And, you know, people will say, oh, I hate technology, or I hate art. And it's like, do you watch movies? Do you have
an alarm system at your home?
Exactly. Do you pick up a phone to call your children? Like, you're using technology.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I think tech has just become a sexy term, and I think that people and I think that we've also created barriers around what tech is, because as you spoke, Catherine, I thought about tech as an industry, and just like you said, it's not just about coding. Like, you can be a PR person, you can be a cleaning person at a tech, but like, you can do so much there. But I have some stats that I would like to share.
Oh.
Okay,
I use
technology to research this.
Google, that's a tech term.
Yeah, thank you.
Did Google you get it. A librarian to help you look for it?
I am a librarian.
Exactly.
All right, so over 7 billion people in the world. There are over 7 billion people in the world. Let me get myself together. See, I use tech so much, I can't speak in real life. In the world, there are over 7 billion people, right? 5 billion people have cell phones, and over half of that, over half of them are smartphones, right? So
I had no idea.
That's a lot of people.
That's way higher than I would have thought.
Yeah. No, part of me feels like it should be more. Like, I feel like everyone has a cell phone, but that's just...
It's also dependent on where they live, and that goes back to your statement question about access.
That is very valid.
Well, and then there's also the question of connectivity. I mean, you can have a cell phone, but like, what is that connection going to be like? I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's something also to touch upon, because that is a valid point as well. But again, everyone engages with tech. I know that there are a lot of nonprofit programs and access in that way. They might not be top of the line iPhones, but people do have access to them. And that's something that we could chat about too, because that goes way deep. But back to these stats. 1 billion people monthly use Instagram, and 500 million users use Instagram stories. Are you shocked by that at all?
No.
Nope, me either.
I mean...
we're millennials.
Oh, Will?
I don't know. Maybe this makes me sound old, or I'm probably just boring. I don't use Instagram so much. So anytime I hear this, I am shocked, but it's my own personal failings.
Okay. That's me as well. Facebook has 2.41 billion monthly active users. That's according to Hootsuite. And Facebook also turned 16 in 2020. It's sweet 16. Can you believe that?
Now that
I
makes
can't
me feel old.
Believe right? That. I can't believe that.
71% of American adults use Facebook. Mm. Are we shocked by that?
No, because it's our parents' generations now.
Yeah. That's what Facebook transformed into is a very interesting topic as well. But no judgment here. And it's safe to say that, again, as we stated 1,000 times, everyone encounters tech at some point. So why does tech matter?
I feel like tech matters because if you really think back to it, if we want to take it back to almost the beginning of time, think about the light bulb. That is a form of technology. It was an invention. We called it inventions there, but it's technology. It matters because it's a way to improve our lives. Like, that's the reason why tech was created. It's an improvement of our lives. There's companies like Yelp, and Yelp took over the yellow pages and the yellow book. So now we no longer have these clunky books. We just have a way to open our phone, figure out where can I grab lunch for this evening. There's people that we can become disconnected to post high school, post college. We now have social media, so it's keeping our friendships longer because it's an easy access to each other. We can text each other. We can call each other. Not everybody has time to get to the phone. Voicemail.
Oh, my God, that breaks my heart. Your phone is right there. Call someone.
Right, which is easier now with tech, too, because you could call my house phone. I might not have had caller ID back in the day. No idea that you called me. I'm not sitting there writing a letter. My penmanship is not good. Like, there's all ways to improve our way of life.
Okay. Well, any thoughts?
I don't know. I kind of wonder, do we really want to be in touch with people we knew in high school? That's what I can't stop thinking about.
We have questions. Okay. Okay. I'm trying to sit on that a bit. Tech is really interesting to me because I have like a love-hate relationship with it. And I try to think of the good side of tech. The one thing about tech that I love is the ability to communicate with people, as you said, that I just couldn't. Or, you know, to share a meme changes my whole day at times, right? Right. And, you know, via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it is a way to kind of take a break from life and just go into a whole new world and say, hey, I want to talk to a friend that I haven't, that I probably wouldn't call on the phone, because you do have friends that you talk to every day. And then you have friends where you're like, I would just send a text. So that's a good aspect of tech. And also just kind of creating a community around tech. I know that I've met a ton of people online. Trends such as Black Girl Magic that came about too. So tech can be great. On the sad side of tech, why can't we speak in person? Why can't we pick up the phone? Are we using tech to kind of create a distance between us that's not quite healthy? And those are also questions that we have to pose too, because yes, we could actually send a quick text, but I might have to hear you as a friend,
right,
and not read you as a friend.
Right. That's, and then good. Things can, I like, come, that one. That was really good.
Yeah.
Things can come misconstrued via text, more arguments can pop up via text. But to even go back to building community, think about people who have met their business partner because of social media.
Very true.
Who, because of LinkedIn, are understanding what companies are out there, can read up on those
and
companies.
And what they're asking for. And
exactly.
All that. Yeah.
See who's working there. Now I realize, someone that I went to college with now works at this company, and I'm looking at this company either because I'm interested in them or I want this company to do business with my company. Now I'm forging partnerships because of technology.
Yeah, that's really useful.
Yeah. I think it's all about how you choose to use tech. You can either use it in a positive way,
right,
or you can just be the shade room, and just, which I love. I'm not throwing any shade on the shade room, but you can use it in a not so great way, right? So can we talk about the people behind tech, right? The creators of tech, right? Do you know where I'm going with this?
Are we talking about San Francisco, Silicon Valley, CEOs and founders of these tech companies?
Yes, and we're also talking about the diversity and inclusion within tech. You work in the tech field, right? And you touched a bit on that. Can you share any personal experiences that you had where you, again, felt that you were not seen, heard, or you have friends or peers that you feel like were not getting promoted, or, you know, all of this nice, newsworthy, techie diversity words were just not implemented in real life?
So I feel like if you are a diverse employee and you're working at a tech company, sadly what you realize is the issues that you're facing are across the board at any company. You cannot escape them from one company to the next.
Yeah.
And it really stems down to leadership and how serious they take diversity, but tying in the word inclusion and then tying in another word, belonging. I don't want to feel like I was a number, because you realize you have 3% of diverse employees working here, mm-hmm. and trying to jump it to 6% to say, like, well, diversity, we have, yeah. you know, there's 6 black kids sitting here and 6 Latinx
but
kids
But are
in
you
there.
Including them?
Right.
Do they feel like
are
they belong?
Are they considered when yeah. it comes to promotion? Or are you creating this boys club, which was a term across many tech companies? And if you look back at Silicon Valley, a lot of these CEOs and founders of tech companies are white men. And then when you're starting a company as a startup, who are you going to tap on? You're going to tap on your friends. Your friends are most likely going to look like you.
Yeah.
And that's the struggle that a lot of tech companies are facing when it comes to diversity and inclusion, because of the way that they were founded, because of who they were bringing up. And now you have this being a domino effect, where anytime you promote somebody and they're looking to promote somebody, they're looking at their friend and they're overlooking someone who is qualified, and then not providing them actual tangible feedback yeah. as to why you were not selected. So if you're telling a person of color, a diverse employee, you were great, but no.
Yeah.
And you're not telling me the reason why no, and I look at the person who got it over me, and I'm just using me as an example. Yeah. I'm just talking in general. What does that person have to fall back on? Because mm-hmm. what are they accustomed to? Always being overlooked and always being bypassed. So my biggest push, and that's part of the reason why I became heavily active in the employee resource group, is to make sure people felt like, I have a future here. I have a career path here. This isn't just a stepping stone for me to get out. This isn't just a place for me to get my check because you only care about me being in the seat for a number. I yeah. feel like I can progress here. I feel like I can bring someone else on here. Mm. I want to look at somebody who looks like me in higher power to know that I have an opportunity.
And is there a word for this? Like, you're talking about the idea of, you know, using diversity as a number, just a stat to make you look good. Would we call this like diversity washing? Like, does that work?
I like that term.
I do like that term.
I do like that term a lot. I mean, I think that we could use that because for years now we've been saying diversity and yeah. then we've been adding inclusion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, I can have a seat at the table, but if I'm not eating, why am I here? Right. And I think that from your story and a lot of people's stories, that is the case. The issue was that the door was closed. Now the door is open. Now I'm in the door and now you're ignoring me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's crazy because, you know, now this conversation is sort of centered around, you know, race. 40 years ago, and even today still, it would have been centered around gender. You
yeah.
know, and it's good that the conversation is there, I guess, but
I mean, I think,
but to that point, they still consider gender as diversity and inclusion.
Oh, right.
Which, yeah. yes, I understand, yeah. but if you have a white male as your leader, and because of diversity and inclusion, you bring up a white female. Now, great, women are getting promoted. Cool. Yes, we're becoming leaders. However, my struggle as a mixed female, because I'm mixed, I'm black and white, she also doesn't fully understand it.
Right.
And that she still doesn't look like me. She still doesn't understand the way that I communicate. She doesn't understand my quote-unquote struggles in the world. So it's also diving into what does each company consider as diversity and inclusion. Mm. If it is women overall, which it should be, also look at race. Also yeah. look at
class.
Do you have members of the LGBTQ community represented as well? It's representation across the board.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about that too, but I think it's also important because the users look like a wide array
right.
of yeah. a lot. So the question is also, if you are creating platforms for people, right, who are black, white, who are green, who are rich and poor, why aren't we able to see that on the back end?
Exactly.
And do we? And stats say that we don't. I just watched on the news a few weeks ago about, I believe it was Facebook.
It was.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. You probably know more about the story, so feel free to share. But there were some folks who felt like, and I believe this was based around race, mm-hmm. where they didn't feel seen and they felt discriminated against. And this is Facebook, mm. which we said, what? 2.41 billion people are on there. And less than 3% of, I believe, people of color work for that company.
That really scares me.
That leadership. Is very scary.
Leadership.
And, okay. And then if we even dig into stats of who works where, right? Mm-hmm. I believe that when you are creating a platform, I would like to see if you are going to create such a powerful platform as well, that I see people within your offices that look like the people who are using your platform. And that's not happening at all. But that's just a little...
That was something that's been sitting in my mind only because it was an open letter from the employees speaking against leadership. There's only 3% of people of color that were in leadership. And that article came out 2 days after I went to Afrotech for the first time. Mm.
And can you tell us a little bit about Afrotech?
So Afrotech is by Blavity Inc. And it's a huge conference to bring together people of color, whatever term you guys prefer, minorities, diverse employees interested or working with tech companies. I believe it's a great place for recruiting.
Yeah.
If I'm interested in tech, I don't fully understand tech. If I want to work in tech and get an understanding of who's hiring and how they're hiring, I know plenty of people who've been hired because of Afrotech, and they're literally going there with the intention of I want to pull or poach and grab new employees. And it's a great way to network and see, like, what are other companies doing? How are they operating? Can we connect with each other if I'm already comfortable in my position? So to go from seeing a plethora of black in tech and that being the theme to 2 days later, with Facebook, we were just, you know, sipping cocktails at this party. Mm. And now your whole entire company, like, you guys wrote an open letter to the CEO of your company.
Yeah.
Where's the disconnect? Are we putting on a face and a front and a mask?
Yeah. There were a few talking points around there not being enough talent in tech of POCs. And again, that's not quite true. And that is a lie. Okay, let's just be real. Because they have a whole conference that's been in existence for
4 years.
4 years. I went the second year, I believe. And there are people there. But the question, again, comes down to, okay, you have people in a room. Are you bringing them to the correct room, and are they eating at the correct table?
Right.
So I think that that's something also to be not even talked about, because we know these things, right? Like, what is going to be done about it? And we talk a ton about tech from a tech industry perspective, but we also have content creators, right? What are their roles in creating this sort of inclusion in tech? And do you guys have any thoughts on that? I'm just trying to shift to the back end of tech and now, like, content creators.
I do think about recently, so if you haven't tried the Popeye's chicken sandwich, you know about the Popeye's chicken sandwich. If you don't even care about chicken, you know that.
You've heard about it.
Exactly. And to hear Popeye's talk about, they had a whole marketing rollout plan. And then they had a black girl sitting on Twitter, and she caused this whole rift between Chick-fil-A, Arby's, Wendy's, whoever got chicken sandwiches in the fast food industry. And that Twitter exchange on social media, which is tech, created them nixing their whole entire marketing plan. And that's a content creator.
Yeah.
And that's the power of, again, when we talk about talent, we talk about black Twitter. That's also a term that's been coined. And a lot of these articles or music, anything, can be broken through social media. And it's through us making these content.
Yeah.
So you're acting as if we're not important. You're not bringing us into these rooms. And we're the ones that are driving your numbers.
And creating the conversations. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Will, any thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't know if this directly relates to the conversation at hand, but I just can't stop thinking about it. How important having, you know, a truly diverse, like, group of people on the back end of tech is... Excuse me. We were just talking earlier about how when you're talking, your throat starts going crazy. So hold on just a second here. I can just think of so many different instances where I've read articles about some sort of program being written that wound up behaving in an inappropriate way on the basis of race. Like, maybe they fed it a bunch of images of people, and, like, they only gave it, like, white people, and so then it gets confused when it sees a black person. I mean, I can't think of a very specific example, but I think you can sort of picture that general idea. Mm-hmm. And so earlier when you were talking about, you know, there's, what, 2.5 million people on Facebook or mm-hmm. something like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the power in that organization lands with white men primarily. Like, that scares me because now, like, you have this thing that's reaching so many different people, yeah, and there's the
across
potential
the world.
Across
right.
the world, and there's this potential for the organization, where whatever they do in the future, for them to feed some programs, some information that's, you know, centered around, you know, the white experience, mm-hmm. and then it having some potentially dangerous mm-hmm. impact on people of color or whatever, yeah. You know, that scares me in a way that I can't articulate yeah. here and be appropriate.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, I think as a creator, you're going to create what you know. And that's why it's very important right. to have voices in the room that looks like everyone, especially if you're going to create for a certain population. And that's just a natural thing. Like, mm-hmm. I am a Black woman, so I am going to draw me. I'm going to paint me. Like, that's just, you know, I'm going to paint my own experiences. And something like race is very important too. And I think when you talk about race, you also have to talk about class, right?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of these content creators are people who are not rich and they're just creating things. I mean, some of our biggest like terms that have come out of the 2000s have come from just random young kids who created
fleek.
Yeah, fleek. Now it's in the dictionary. Now it's just everyone's using it. Now the Kardashians have yeah. put it on mm-hmm. shirts, and I did right. not want to plug them, but yep. you know what I'm saying?
Here
like, that's
are.
The whole point, too. Mm. So just thinking about who's behind the scenes, but also race, class, gender, sex, all of that. And then once we think about that, what opportunities are people getting as well? Content creators, a lot of them are making or creating brands, and mm. they're getting paid, but not everyone. Fleek, the girl, or
it was a girl.
The girl,
yeah,
who created Fleek. That was a whole debacle of like, who owns that, right?
Right.
Are you going to give her a paycheck? You've put it on t-shirts, you've put it everywhere, right? So these are people also that are behind the screen who are creating this content, right? But like, what are we doing for them? You know, so that's also, I have a ton of questions. I do have a ton of questions and I have a ton of answers, but like Will said, I'm going to be appropriate for the show. But Catherine, you tell me, what are your answers?
Well, I do not have all the answers, but that is something that I think about across the board. And even when we take it out of tech, if you bring it back to the right people in the room to make sure that you're making a proper decision, look at the way that we're so quick to become a cancel culture. Let's cancel this because they didn't consider us here. And that's the only way that we're teaching these brands, like, you need to start taking us more seriously. H&M was the first one that always comes to mind, the fact that they had the little Black boy and the coolest monkey in the jungle and not connecting, like, monkey. This is a term that was derogatory for yeah. Black people. Where was the Black person in this room to tell you, hey, maybe like,
or yeah. where was the person in the room? You don't have yeah. to be Black right. to know that this is inappropriate. Like, this is inappropriate.
Where was the no man? Like, hold on. And not only that, there could have been a no man in that room. And who is overriding? Are they listening? So it comes down to what you were saying with, am I eating in this room? Like, am I speaking out because that's why you want me in this room? And are you not listening mm-hmm. to me? So am I just here to say that I'm here for you?
For, yeah.
But you need to listen to what I'm saying, because if you're bringing me here, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I am appreciative about within my journey in the company that I work with and the department that I've switched into, is having that comfortability to sit across and say, this isn't right. This isn't going to fly. Did we look at it this way? And finding that voice and becoming an advocate in diversity and inclusion across the board to get people to understand and to speak out. Because the reason why I decided to go for it was, too many of my colleagues were telling me they put in their 2 weeks and they're excited to get out because wow. they felt like they couldn't express themselves, and they're waiting until they're leaving in their exit interviews to share all of these experiences that they've been having. And it's like, well, I'm still here. I'm taking all of the experiences that you guys are talking about that you can see on Glassdoor, and now I'm sitting down with the people that are paying attention to my voice, respecting my voice. I'm demanding that respect, but I'm having a conversation. I'm not going to them with, here's problem, problem, problem.
Yeah.
It's here's problem, here's solution.
Yeah.
Does the solution make sense to you? If it doesn't make sense to you, how can we find a middle ground? How can I tell you, hey, no disrespect, but I don't agree with that, and here's the reason why, and let's have a conversation around it and come up with proper solutions around it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of power there on both ends, and I'm glad that they have someone like you there to make them feel comfortable, because I think that's also an issue, is that people just don't feel comfortable. They feel feelings, but they don't feel comfortable, and they don't have a person there to guide them as well. And I think that it is very important to have such programs available, because I think that when we get into, if it becomes a melting pot, it's like everything is great. I'm like, no, you actually need a program for that, because right. you need diversity training. You know, right. that's a term. But yeah.
A lot of companies are doing that, and it's like, okay, cool. You're teaching diversity training and sort of emotional intelligence and understanding, but making sure that it's actively being reminded and enforced, listening to your employees' experiences. Someone had said to me, too many times we do exit interviews. Why aren't we enforcing stay interviews? What can we do better to make you want to stay? And like, that was something that I took very seriously and that I consider a lot. And for a lot of employees, them not thinking there's someone that looks like them, understands them, or can help them continue on, we started enforcing a mentorship program within.
Nice.
So we have different where it's either departments, backgrounds, race, and pairing them up with someone that would be best fitting, so they feel like they have an outlet. I do have someone, even if it isn't my direct manager, to go to help me, to coach me, to guide me.
It's very important.
Because it is very, very important. Some of my mentors within my company, all of them do not look like me. But if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have been able to understand how can I maneuver in the right way, what chess moves can I make, and always referring back to them to chat out loud, like, what move should I do? How should I handle this?
Mm. Yeah. I'm not a real big fan on the term ally, but I do think that it is very important to know that anyone can help. Mm-hmm. Anyone can learn. You don't have to be Black. You don't have to be gay. You don't have to have grown up poor to assist and to help, because your voice helps, right? And it's all about growth. And I know that there are, again, people in a room that are also not growing, and that's because there's not a voice behind them to help them out. So thank you for the work that you do.
Yeah.
I was
just no that was supposed to be a I don't know. I failed.
You did your thing. Well, see, a voice for you. You did great. So do you have any tips for anyone that's in your position? Like, what can they do, Black, white, green, whatever, to actually help push diversity and inclusion in tech?
Yeah.
I understand the whole not like an allyship, but it is an interesting term to sort of like look into and dive into. I think allyship and mentorship is very important, and it doesn't have to be defined as such. You don't have to go in with an agenda. You don't have to say, well, this is my little mentee. I'm taking her out for coffee. Just,
yeah.
You can look at someone and see that they're hungry, see that they're thirsty. They want more knowledge. They want more access. They want to grow. They want to strive. Help them. Recognize that. Get them in contact with other people that could help them or that they should be having conversations with to help with an idea that they have. People feel comfortable in their jobs when they feel like they're seen, they're heard. If I have an idea and it gets shut down, well, I'm not going to voice my ideas anymore because I feel like no one cares about them. But if I have an idea and I understand the why it could happen, the why it couldn't happen, start getting the tools and the resources on how to get there. If I'm interested in one direction and they know somebody over there and I have no connection to them whatsoever, and they give that introduction, I feel like that's very important, and I feel like all of us have the capability to do that in all of our positions. What we always talk about is we're limited on access and resource. If you have the key to provide access and resource for somebody, start using them. Yeah. Start using your keys if you're just sitting on them and it has no benefit
and
to you.
And you are a resource. You, like, as a person, right?
Right.
I think we forget that, too. So, yes, right. you are the resource. All right. So I have two more questions if we have time. Will, do we have time?
We do. We've got probably about 9 minutes.
Oh, we're rolling. Okay. So, Catherine, what are your predictions for tech in the future?
Oof.
That's a big question.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I'm
sorry.
Glad I'm not in your seat.
Sorry.
Right now.
I'm just going to call Steve Jobs.
hey. He's not. Okay.
Yeah, he's still kicking somewhere.
No,
technology, future.
Yeah, yes.
We're going to be able to summon Steve Jobs.
Personified.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
totally
creepy.
I know.
A little bit. I'm excited and nervous for the future of technology. Nervous because it can replace many jobs. Excited because it can open new opportunities for many jobs. A little nervous because it can take away from us learning technical skills and what happens if, I don't know, solar plants, energy plants just go out one day and then we're all looking at each other like, well, don't know what to do now.
We're done. Yeah.
Yeah, we're done here. The idea of cars driving themselves. I think about, I drive a lot and I drive late night and getting tired and, oh, my car can drive for me. And then really thinking about it, like, do I want my vehicle to dictate and be in control of me? I get nervous because I think about that smart house Disney movie and we have this tech person and now they're just coming to life and all of a sudden they have feelings.
That movie was horrifying.
Right. But we're getting closer and closer to that being reality. And I think that's what's nerve-wracking. So it's just, where is the fine line?
Yes.
And making sure that there is a fine line and the Instagram versus in real life, like memes and jokes, just making sure we're able to do that. Like, we still have social skills. We still know how to go up to somebody and say, hey, how are you doing today? Instead of just WYD in my text message.
Yeah. So, I am the most.
I don't even know what that means.
What are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
The more you know. But yeah, that's interesting. It is a fine line. Will, do you have any predictions?
Predictions. You know, I think unless we bring in that diversity to begin with and then deal with all kinds of crazy things that are happening, not just in the United States government, but in governments around the world, if you look around, it just seems like everyone has gone. I got to be careful here because going
like
into interesting directions, let's say.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, absent bringing back some, you know, sanity and consideration, all of this technology has the potential to bring a wonderful world or a very scary world.
Yeah.
And like on its own, I see technology as sort of personally a neutral thing. And I await to see whether its potential is harnessed in a great way or in a, like, I don't know, Terminator kind of way.
Both. Both, yeah. For me, I see people taking a step back from tech. I know me personally, it's just becoming too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when we first started with tech, and I'm talking more about, like, Twitter and those platforms, it was fun, it was easy, it wasn't a business, it wasn't so shocking, it was just a good time. I always say it was like an online group chat, like you just with friends. So I think people will take a step back. What I hope for is that, because I truly feel that tech isn't going anywhere anytime soon, unfortunately, I hope that we are, those who know about tech and know about opportunities, hopefully we act as a resource and we start to teach those that don't know that you can get a job in tech and that you don't have to know how to code, or you can, you know, like just them understanding that there is a place for them because tech is here.
Right.
And I know through our work, we see the divide.
The digital divide.
The digital, yep, exactly. And it's clear and it's sad, because if this is going to be the way of the world, then everyone needs to understand it and engage with that and have access to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping, because it will be here, I keep wanting to say if, but because it is, it's here, I hope that we are able to kind of share the wealth in that, because it's here to say. So, yeah.
And to that end, I would be a terrible employee if we didn't plug the fact that, you know,
we have a real life event.
Oh, well, not that. No. if I didn't plug the fact that, you know, the library, all of our libraries have computers that you can use to access. You can get print 20 pages a day for free, which obviously printing is like sort of old fashioned now, it seems print, like. And then there's the studio lab where you can come and you can learn to, you know, create videos, podcasts. And then there's the fab lab where you can come learn to make things and use software like that. And, you know, it's important for us to be communicating that with people. Yeah. This is there for you and it's free. And, you know, the library is a place to democratize education. Yes. And more it's becoming a place to democratize access to technology. Obviously, you know, I think there are other things about that to unpack that we don't really have time for. And there are other factors in all of that. But so I just want to say that, acknowledging that, like, my statement is sort of incomplete here. But yes, this is an open invitation, I guess, to the library. Yes,
to come learn how to code, to check an email, to send a Facebook status, to what else can you do online? Stuff. Whatever you want to do
anything
online is there.
Everything.
Look at cat pictures.
Cat pictures. Memes from 3 years ago. You can do that at the DC Public Library.
Totally.
So, yeah. Yeah. How much time do we have? I will keep going.
We have 2 minutes.
Well, I want to just say, Catherine, thank you so much for coming in and just being as open and transparent.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
It's very insightful. Yeah. Do you have anything else to say, or you want to share anything?
I don't think I do, but I think the only last thing I did want to hit on is when you had mentioned, like, tech can be scary. It's just a fear. It's a fear of technology. You see it with our parents' generation. They're very hesitant because they're just very nervous. So it's always being compassionate and understanding when dealing with tech. It'll be quicker for others because they've had that access.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you,
Well
Catherine.
Said.
Yeah. A good last note.
Yeah. Well, on that note, this has been an episode of Notes from the Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasted live from the Line Hotel Washington, D.C. Yeah. So please visit dclibrary.org to learn more about the library programs and services, or follow us on Instagram, Twitter. And you can listen to this anywhere where you get your podcasts by searching for Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening, and it was great talking to the two of you.
Thank you, Catherine. Thanks, Will.
Thanks for chatting with us. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.